it's time to get a gun. That's what I've been thinking.
So if you have any comments or questions for the show, please send an email to slamfireradio@gmail.com. Now go grab a gun and shoot something.
When the talking is over, it's time to get a gun.
Welcome to Slamfire Radio, episode 569. Tonight is August 21st, 2024. I am one of your hosts, Kyle.
Oh, there's no Kelly. Okay, well then I am your host, not Kelly, Dustin.
Am I next? I'm Cowtown Tony.
And I'm Adriel.
And wow. We forgot to mention the episode number 569.
Did actually say Slamfire Radio, episode 569.
But you'll Adriel see. Did not respond.
I was too busy looking for my name. Where am I in the stack?
We should have just done it via seniority. Everything will be more
because it's a host rotation and it rotates every time.
It's got to rotate. It's got to
rotate. I even put it right underneath the speech you put there.
I didn't see that. I was looking. I was like, where is it?
So we didn't have to scroll to the next page.
There. Look, it's gone. It's only exists in one place now.
Yeah. All right. Well, why don't we get into what we did with guns? And Tony, why don't you lead us off?
Oh God, me again? All right.
Well, I wasn't here, so I don't know.
That's fair. Didn't know shooting, but I did do some 3D printing work. Ooh. Here is a insert for your Mac Lula to accept. It's not like it wouldn't accept a 1911 magazine to start, but this will basically surround a magazine because of a single stack magazine and it will let it fit better. I don't have a 1911, but I did convince my friend in Michigan to buy a 1911, and surprisingly he shoots it quite well and it's one of his favorite at the moment. Of course, his still favorite is the Desert Eagle. He stepped down to buy a 44 Magnum under my recommendation as it's more available. The lead time for a 50 AE is about 3 to 4 years right now if he wanted the chrome or the stainless, which is more correct for if you're a Counter-Strike fan in your younger days. But he still likes that gun best, but he tends to shoot 1911 the best from what I've seen so far. That's between his Deagle, the 1911, and a P320, although it's a compact P320. Speaking of the P320, I've also printed some training magazines for him. He went on a course at his local range, $20 for 2 hours. It's so cheap. And I think he was the only student that showed up for the night. So he got some one-on-one time and they recommended him to have a training magazine that's weighted, but those are either $100 each or very hard to find. You have a P320 compact. So I thought I would print some. They have a hollow inside. This is originally from a training magazine that's for the X5 Legion. So it will be longer. It will be a 17 round, but his gun will be a 15 round. So I try to shorten it. I don't have a measurement against because I don't own a P320. I wish I did. Anyway, so hopefully these will work. And I have also already revisioned it once, so it nests up a little bit differently, and you can throw fishing weights and whatever in there. I did thought about just, you know, loading blanks, like loading training rounds for him, which isn't that hard, but technically you can't mail them through Canada Post. I'm going to meet up with a friend in Ontario, so I can mail it to him, and then we will drive down to Michigan, but you're technically not supposed to mail them as inert ammunition. Or I doubt if TSA people or the plane security people will let me through. They wouldn't understand. Oh, this one doesn't have primer. Oh, it doesn't. Anyway.
And no, you're absolutely right. I had a 30-06 bottle opener. And,
oh, really?
Oh, yeah. The side of the case is cut out. It's like, and nope, you know, you can't have that.
I'm surprised. Like, I'm surprised.
They'll jump on you.
And two more things. I'll be shooting an IPSC match this weekend. I don't think Amanda's coming for that. secret note for later today. And hopefully I don't DQ. It will be the first proper match I shot outside of my home club. So that'll be interesting. That'll be a Sunday, well, two-day match, Saturday, Sunday, at the Kananaskis game and whatever. KG?
That's
the whole, name I don't remember. but hopefully I don't DQ. I'm going to give the K9 one last chance. Maybe it will be last hurrah. We'll see if it blow up or not. Hopefully not. I still need to survive. But also, I'm planning a trip to visit my friend in Michigan, so that'll be fun, hopefully. If that happens, I'll get to shoot a Deagle. I'll get to shoot a 1911. And I'll get to shoot his P320 and his AR. I've actually never shot a proper AR before, so that'll be interesting. So we'll see. Maybe I'll likely miss an episode, but hopefully I'll have better what I did in guns for the episode after.
Friedland.
Let's go to Kyle next, because he haven't been on for a few days.
Yeah, and I have a bit of a list here. So I have been traveling around the last few weeks. Went up to Rocky Mountain 3-gun. Staffed that match. So we left here Tuesday night. I shot 5 stages on the Wednesday. Shot 4 on the Thursday. And then I was ROing and running people through the Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. So, and then, yeah, last week I was in Cleveland for work. But back to Rocky Mountain. Overall, I actually wasn't happy with my shooting. It seems to be the theme for this year. I really struggled with the long range. I got to spend more time long range rifle. And just there's some mental stuff. Like I was saying before, I feel like I'm on the cusp of something, but it's taken a long time to get there. Overall, not actually didn't end up too terribly bad. I got 14th in tactical out of 51 shooters. So, clean up my long range could have been easily a top 10. But yeah, there were some fun stages, and it's Rocky Mountain, so long stages. I think there was only one stage that I shot that was under 100 seconds, and even then, there was only a few stages that would have been under 100 seconds. So, but it is a long match. You expect that. Good, yeah, really good stages. There were some issues. So we were talking afterwards, the stage briefs, they didn't quite match what was on the stage. And there were some guys that kind of got caught by that. They were reading the stage brief that was posted up and not listening and target counts. But it was the second year for Jared and them taking it over, and it's growing. Like, they took feedback from last year, and they actually shortened up the stages a bit this year. I actually like this one question that Dustin asked during the main topic, because it's something I noted while I was working, and I only saw one squad that didn't have a woman on it.
Heck yeah.
Every squad had at least one woman, if not multiple women on it. So that was, especially on this difficulty of a match. It's just a natural terrain, long stage match. So it's a gruel.
That's also the States, but also it's 3-gun. So
it's competition.
I do respect female shooters in 3-gun. That's a lot to manage, especially the shotgun.
Yeah. Yep, for sure. We ended up with a torrential downpour. So we got to put the awning on the, and we got shut down to lightning. And that was one really wild thing. So on the Friday, we got shut down at like 2:00. And they called it at 3:30, said, nope, wrap it up. We're done for the day. And there were some squads that had only shot one or two stages. By the end of Saturday, all but two squads were caught up.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
So like we I know on our stage we hammered six squads through, and everyone else was just hammering shooters through. Okay, let's go. And yeah. And by the end, we were waiting on one stage on Sunday for maybe an hour for them to finish, and then we were all done. So, I mean, kudos out to all the shooters and the staff that pumped everyone through and got basically back on schedule at the end of Saturday.
That's impressive. It's
actually really, really impressive. There was some target issues, some steel target issues. I don't know if you guys read my bit on the on there. I figured I got shot. So
wait, what?
So I took a good ricochet, a really good ricochet.
Yeah. Oh, that looks pretty good.
Well, the thing is, I'm pretty sure there's still some jacket in there, but it caught the vein. Like it hit, and my hand was red. And like, just
wow.
So I was running the tablet, and so I'm just kind of dragging my hand behind me. I looked, it wasn't like pulsing out. So I'm like, okay, no, we'll be fine then. It just oozing. And you could just follow the trail.
Did you remember what it was? Like what caliber?
It was 9mm.
Were they shooting steel just too close? Like,
well, that was one of the things, and something that we got that I'm going to be putting this thing on stuff I saw and kind of feedback for Jared. We had to mark multiple spots on our stages and keep people 7 yards or further out. But yeah, the design of the steel, so like you're shooting a steel at 7 yards, but it's a steel that has a base and then it's welded right into the middle.
Yeah. Nope. Those throws.
Yeah. So
yeah.
And that's what it came from. So I'm going to take a picture of my personal steel that I have here that has the base, but then it's welded to the front with an angle.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's right? The way to go.
That's one way of doing it, or just shoot them further away. That's the, alternative.
Yeah. So I think trying to figure out all weekend why, cause we were kind of getting a little bit, but it was kind of more of an annoyance than anything until I took it right to the hand. but that was funny. The guy running the clock, he had heard something, turned around, saw me, okay, turned back around once he realized and stole the tablet from me so I could go get it taken care of. So that brings up med kits. Recall, mine was stolen out of my truck, and I haven't replaced it because the replacement I'm looking at is like $400, and I've been just busy and money going elsewhere. So I didn't have my med/trauma kit. One of the guys there had it, and it was the saddest kit I had ever seen. Like, he didn't even have alcohol wipes in it.
Oh,
sounds like mine.
And like, he had a piece of gauze, so okay, wipe it up with some gauze, and was able to roughly get it taped up.
Did he have a chunk of wood for you to bite down on while they're?
Yeah, I'm surprised he didn't try and tourniquet my arm, but yeah. So it was a sad med kit. So it's just an extra push and reminder for people, like, anything can happen. I mean, you think, oh, I'm not going to get shot, I'm standing over here. Well, I mean, it turned out it wasn't that big of a wound, but it got the vein and it bled, and I still needed to stop it. But you got to get those med and trauma kits set up. And if the guy made the comment, oh yeah, I've had to use this a couple times, I guess he had a guy running a shorty, an SBR, and basically shot his fingers because he went held forward of the handguard. But you got to replenish that stuff. When you use your kit, you got to replenish the stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. But anyways, on with that. I got shot. I'm okay. Good old souvenir. So the guy who shot and his jacket ended up hitting me, he sponsored a swap meet. So on the Friday night, he sponsored to do a swap meet. Really cool idea. So everyone just bring your non-serialized stuff. And yeah. And
how oddly specific.
Yeah. Well, it's New Mexico. So in New Mexico, I mean, there's 2A sanctuaries all over the state. But in New Mexico, even private sales have to be run through NICS.
Really?
Yes. So it's not like Texas where private Texas or Arizona where private sale. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. As far as I know, you're not a felon. Here. Here's a firearm.
Yeah.
In New Mexico, it's still got to be run through NICS. So.
Similar to here then.
And it's still got to go through a background check. So that's why they say no serialized parts, because if it's a serialized part, it's got to go through NICS.
Right.
But I ended up getting a really cool purchase.
All the cool toys again. I don't even want to see it anymore.
Oh, I think you want to see this. So I bought this case.
Yeah, what's in okay. the box?
Oh, it's a little dated, but I picked up Labradar.
Ooh, Labradar. Nice.
For $200.
Yeah, they're good prices now because the Zero is out and the next year in Labradar is out. So,
yep.
A good time to pick one up. Although in Canada, I haven't seen their price drop too much.
This was a good price. Even used prices here, was an amazing price. He had a tag on it for $250 just to kind of get rid of, and then found out I was working the match. So he's like, well, I'll knock $50 off right now. And I'm like, okay, well, I was going to try and offer $200. So, okay.
Awesome.
So yeah, that was my awesome buy from that. The prize table was wicked. I was way too far down to get any of the super cool stuff, but I did pick up, and it's funny because I was actually talking to the owner of this company for a bit, and I learned a bit about chambering of AR barrels, but I ended up picking up a Stretch 16 precision barrel. And cool. I guess it's got their own kind of proprietary length gas system. And I guess the really special thing about this, so I have the JP Supermatch barrel on my AR right now. And basically what Mark was telling me was that, okay, like there's your SAMI spec and JP. And we had this conversation because some of the rifle stages where you had to blast, I think it was like 15 or 20 paper and then go to your long range. And he was figuring, oh, they're going to lock up on the long range because just how hot your barrel is going to get. And he said, especially the guys running like the JP barrels. And I think, okay, really? What?
Chambers are too tight.
Yes. So I guess JP does what is called like a -1 SAMI spec. And like that, you guys have heard it before. Forgive me. I hadn't heard about this kind of way of measuring the different chambers or how to actually like quantify it.
All I know is there's 22 LR barrels and 22 LR max chamberings. That's
right.
All I know
there's
a
bunch of them. There's a bunch for 22.
Yeah. So I guess this one is a +1 chambering. Hmm. So it's costs probably about half as much as the JP barrel. I'm really interested to try it out and see how it goes. So
curious to hear your review of that once you get it in a gun.
Here's the problem. Is it full auto rated?
I'm not full auto rated. I need to get business license and everything. So
bump stocks back on a menu.
No, the full auto rated. Bump stocks, not full auto.
Well, it's
neither is the
FRT. Rated. Yeah. So is it rapid fire rated?
Well, it is fluted, so it'll probably. It'd be interesting to see because it seems thinner, a little bit thinner, and it's got the fluting where the JP is more of like a bull sporter barrel. But where was I? So yeah, that's the prize table pickup. Staccato was really awesome. They actually supplied 250 rounds for each of the staff.
Oh, wow.
9mm. I guess they're doing 9mm now.
Staccato brand 9mm.
Yes. And it's
sounds somewhere. Like PSA ammo, but more.
It's 136 grain 9mm ammo.
Ooh. That doesn't have to be a weird number. Come on. 115, 124, 147.
How do you remember where I had it? So this I would love to know the price. I have not checked it out, but I mean it's hollow point.
Oh,
fancy.
They get 250 rounds of Staccato hollow point ammo. Yeah, don't shoot that.
And that, well, it's their match ammo.
Oh.
Made in the USA.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's actually, I had found it. It's actually made by, they contracted Longhorn Ammunition that. Because I figured there's no way Staccato is actually making their own ammo. They contracted that out.
Still cool, though.
Oh, yeah. Cool. Absolutely cool. Really awesome of them to do. They were a big sponsor of the match. And another little side match thing they had was they had speaking of full auto, they had MP5s.
Nice.
So Jared, the match director of the match, challenged me for on a dueling tree with the MP5. And so I won.
Was a full auto MP5.
Yeah.
It's a full auto shot down. Okay, cool. Why do I need to hear these stories?
It was fun. It was really fun. And like, I think it was like $30 a shooter. So decent price. It was $1 a round. You got a 30 round mag.
That's more than decent, I think.
But you know, that's pretty much Rocky Mountain. I do finally have the Desert Tech Quattro 15. I finally have it. So I have it already. Started with the ridiculous build with the carry handle upper. I really like this receiver. I actually would consider looking to see if they actually have like a normal sized receiver like this, because it's got controls on it that, well, for one, that's a quad stack mag.
How many rounds does it fit? 100?
53.
More bullets, more better.
That seems but low.
It's restricted it's a short to one. Patriot use only.
okay.
And I'll use this mag just for Dustin here, but compare it with the 30 round mag.
Oh, thank you. I need to do that to a mag. That's great.
Please check out our Discord. You have like two posts on it.
So it is the length of a 30 round mag.
That's awesome.
So it's way shorter than the old style, like,
well, like the
double like stack to quad stack long one.
Well, that's the Surefire coffin ones that never ran.
What are those mags worth?
I don't know. I don't know. I got the two mags with the receiver as well. They do actually have adapters for your 30 round mag to go into that monstrous the mag well.
Do you have to run a chest rig, or is there like actually a belt mount?
Well, it says it fits double mag pouches.
Yeah, so like
double size taco or something, or you talk real nice to your Kydex maker and get him to make you custom mag pouches. I don't know what I'm going to do with it yet, but back to the controls on this thing. So this is full ambi controls. So you have ambi mag release in your paddle. Look where the bolt lock and bolt release is.
Yes.
On the right side.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, I run bad levers all the time, or the phase 5 version of it. But that right up, that is so awesome.
That's perfect.
Yeah, right up by your mag release. Yeah. So I actually think I'm going to have a look and see if they make like a normal size receiver with that feature.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that will slowly start getting built, just like pretty much everything else. But yeah, I had to throw the carry handle upper because this will be the ridiculous build.
Yeah, that's going to be awesome.
Give it a 5-inch barrel and call it a pistol.
Oh yeah, 5-inch barrel. Well, maybe not quite a 5-inch barrel, because it's still gonna be a rifle round, like 300 blackout or 50 Beowulf, something like that.
50 Does 50 Beowulf round actually fit in that magazine?
I don't know. So they're back. So you can take a 50 Beowulf mag and run 223, and it's a good question. And with the polymer mags, if I can run a 50 Beowulf, and that might be the deciding factor. Because
I'm thinking because of the quad stack, right? So it might.
Well, I've never get 53 of them in there. That's for sure.
Well, but if you can get 25 in there, that's an achievement.
Yeah. But so yeah, there's that. I went to Cleveland last week for work, and last minute I decided I was gonna check out Ohio carry laws, and apparently, and this surprised me, Ohio is permitless carry.
Yeah. So, a couple years now.
Midwest.
So when I was packing up in the middle of the night, because we got back at 11 p.m. Sunday night, and I had to leave my house at 5 a.m. Monday morning to go catch my flight. So sitting there midnight, 1 o'clock in the morning, packing up, I decided, okay, well, let's pack a gun then, because it's permitless carry. And the experience with United was actually really good. It was excellent. Like, you know, got up there. Yep. Flying with a firearm. Okay, cool. Open it up. Yeah. It's in a locked case. Okay. I need you to open it so I can verify it's unloaded. Okay. Open it up. All right. Close it up. Sign this piece of paper, tape it there. You're good to go. And even in Ohio, it was the same thing all over again.
Question about that. Sure. Did you chuck like a chamber flag in to make that easier for them, or did you just leave
they didn't check the chamber.
That's okay. Their definition of unloaded is a little different.
Yeah, they did not check the chamber, and I made sure, like, okay, I'm in an airport. I expect to have to open it, but open it hands well away from it. I had now, like, they specify like ammunition in like a factory container or whatever. So I just brought a box and set it in there, put my empty mag, laid my empty mag in there. So the mag wasn't in the gun, and because there was an empty mag and it wasn't in the gun, they deemed it unloaded. So,
but it has to be made a
pinky promise, right? Like, do you pinky promise? Like, I could get enough.
Yeah, pretty much.
Has to be a piece of check luggage, I'm assuming.
Yes, you're not checking that at the gate. Yeah,
but still,
this is the States, but it's still, you have to take your shoes off when you go through security here. It's not like,
I remember that was a thing, and they actually got mad because I had tissue paper in my back pocket.
Oh yeah, empty all your pockets and everything. Yeah,
that was something. Yeah. But again, from what I've heard from Taylor Reich, complete different process in Canada.
Yeah.
Again, I think it's very much a culture thing. They have a lot of firearms. They kind of expect that here. Air Canada.
Well, in Canada, it depends on who you get for sure. Because
it's
I've only flown in Canada with a gun once, and it was pretty much the same as what I just did, except for they put the piece of paper in the case with my shotgun.
Right.
I've heard other people just recently had other things where they're like, no, don't open it here. Go find a private corner somewhere away from everybody and go play with your gun over in that. So it all depends on who you get.
Which is really bad, in my opinion. Oh, absolutely.
Like, you want to see someone thing. Hiding in a dark corner playing with a gun? That guy's up to something.
Yeah.
It's time for murder.
So,
I don't know.
I guess the last thing on my list is, so we got back and we did a club USPSA match on Saturday here, and especially with all my travel and everything, decided to make it all class fire match. So, and actually, because we did that, the assistant deputy section coordinator messaged me and said, hey, oh, you're doing the classification match. Cool. You're trying to get people leveled up. It's like, yeah, basically. And I'm trying to get classified on PCC. Okay, cool. These are the classifiers I recommend for that. So he even gave me all the stages that we were going to use. So it was awesome.
Gaming.
Well, you want people to come out. So, and you actually have a good time, because there are some classifiers where you're just not going to level up on that. Like, there's just, yeah. But so I ended up shooting both limited and PCC, had some mixed results through the day. But I am now, surprisingly, because they're the results, but I actually am now a B shooter in limited. And
yay!
I am a B shooter PCC.
Hey.
I on one stage, so it's called Lightning and Thunder. It's a 3-string one, 25, 15, 10, something like that.
Oh, the one you have to shoot, do a reload, shoot.
That's only on the second position. So first position, and this is where I love USPSA for contradicting themselves. So the first position is like your 25 yards. It's 2 shots per target for 3 targets, freestyle. You have, and it's fixed time. So that's the biggest part of this, is it's fixed time. You're not against the clock. It's get all the rounds in 5 seconds. You don't get points, extra bonus points, if you go less than the time.
Yep. That's a classic of USPSA and gets a lot of Canadian shooter very confused.
So I just get excited. That's all that happens there, because afterwards I realized how I screwed that one up. But so, okay, shoot the three, and then the middle position is one shot per target, mandatory reload, one shot per target. Then the last position is supposed to be two targets per, or two shots per target, strong hand only. And they say, oh, PCC, strong shoulder. But in the rules, they say you cannot shoot a PCC single-handed.
Oh,
correct.
So that close position is just freestyle for PCC.
Correct.
Well, 5 seconds on the clock and thinking, oh, I'm like 10 yards away. Yeah, I can just hose this. So 2.5 seconds later, I've done all my shooting. I missed out on a master score by 4 points because of that.
Because you shot Charlie's.
Yes.
You're too fast. You're too fast.
Yep. I could have easily shot all A's in 5 seconds on that. But no, I got it in my head. Hey, I got a race and in half the time. And at that 2.5 seconds feels like forever when you're unloading, showing clear. And
hold on. So are you telling me that you don't shoot better when you shoot faster?
Well, no, depends to anywhere. As long as the shots are on brown paper, it's all good. Yeah, but yeah, just in my mind, because normally, you know, there's the time component. So I'll sacrifice some accuracy for the speed.
Of course. Yeah, of course.
But yeah, I do got to clean the PCC on one stage. I did get a stuck case. It took a few times of cycling to actually pop it free. So it's about time to clean that chamber out. And I really got to get that buffer system figured out. That recoil impulse is killing me.
Well, here's what I've heard is no matter how you tune it, it's actually not going to feel that different. It will run better, but I've heard it won't.
Now, see, I've been doing a lot of reading, and like, I'm first thing that's going is the carbine buffer tube. You put an A5 or rifle length buffer tube on that. And while I want to go with like the Shields delay buffer or delayed buffer, that's a $300 part. So I'm probably going to go with a hydraulic buffer to start, and, you know, 308 buffer spring from what I've been reading, and it really tames it up with that.
Just so. Think about how much money you saved on your Timonee triggers. You can't afford that. You can't afford.
No, I spend that. Yes, that's money saved, but it's spent elsewhere all the time. Like on all the travel I've been doing and everything. So
that's
and
fair. The
time off work. And yeah. But my what I did in guns got really long, which I knew it was going to be long, but it got really long. So yeah, I'm going to end it there. But yeah, I'm going to deal with the buffer system because I got sectionals and nationals coming up in October, and I really want to get that tamed up. So with that, Dustin, what did you get up to?
I did not get up to as much as you, unfortunately, but that's all right. I cleaned some guns because I haven't in a while. There's a lot more guns to clean because I haven't in a while. Did a little bit of reloading, reloading and sorting. My roommate and I, we both do some reloading. I own most of the gear. Like the presses and stuff are all mine, but you know, there's some components and bits that are his. But he just got out of shooting 223, just sold his 223 Bren, because he bought himself a 7.62x39 Bren, and he figured he didn't need both. So we had to go through and like sort of, okay, what's yours? What's mine? How much do you want for all of what's yours? And you know, that whole deal. Okay, well, you take half of that. did a little bit of case prep because 223 is really, you know, slow and meticulous and pain in the butt. Yeah, it's a stupid.
Why am I always saying the different note? What's hard about 223 reloading?
It's a giant pain in the butt at every turn.
It is that shoulder. I don't get that shoulder just right.
Yep,
and it likes to roll on you and bulge when you're reloading it.
Yep. Nah, I just load it and I send it. Done.
How many are you loading? Because every other person I've heard load 223 has had that issue.
Thousands at this point.
Really?
Yeah, I'm on a lead load master. I just go for it.
Oh, okay. Well, well, you're lucky because I hate reloading 2-2-3. I get frustrated and I move back over to my.
Can't do it in a hurry though. That's fair. But no. I size it and then
it takes time.
Took it. I put it aside. I tumble it, and then I have ready brass, and then I load it on a progressive.
You don't do anything about the primer pocket or trim to length or anything like that, Tony?
Well, trim to length is kind of part of the sizing process. The yes, sometimes I switch the primer pockets, but that depends on the brand of brass.
They all have, like, practically Remington. The only one I run into regularly is RP. That's that one. Doesn't everything else is
Remington doesn't have a PMC. Doesn't have it. The PMC Mark 223 wouldn't have it. The PMC Mark 556 would.
Well, the giant bucket of just miscellaneous 223 brass that my roommate and I have collected from just being brass gremlins at the range, you have to go through every round.
Get a Lee APP and then just swage every single one of them. You'll be fine.
Yeah, well, but it's a process, right? It's like step after step after step. Because I've got my progressive set up for pistol, and I always get bored of, you know, reloading 223 after an hour, and I move on to like something where I can actually feel like I accomplished something after an hour. So
do you load 223 on a progressive?
No.
Exactly. There's a problem. Load it on a progressive. Done.
my progressive's always set up for pistol because I like it that way.
Buy another one.
Reloading. I have limited space, okay? My workshop has to accommodate a lot of things. Anyway.
Sell a gun. You'll be fine.
What are you talking about?
Tony speak, that is.
Most of my guns, I think I'd have an RCMP knock on the door if I tried to sell them. So, I've got more illegal guns than legal ones these days. But that's not quite true. But anyway, did that. That's what I mean. Yeah. But did some reloading, and then I did a pre-PAL course for a film friend. So I do this, I think I've talked about this, I do this sometimes. Because like in film, film has a real collection of different folks, like on the spectrum of could be interested in guns. But if you make friends with the prop/armorer guy, he's a safe bet. You can ask questions about, you know, how to get your license and stuff. And so a thing I like to do for film folks who, you know, feel comfortable asking me and, or, you know, want to go down that road is I offer to do a pre-PAL course for folks, where I bring them over, just like, come hang out. We're going to go through Axe Improve a whole bunch of times. I'm going to lay out every type of gun that at one point you could legally get. But everything that you're going to encounter in the PAL course and in the RPAL course. And, I got dummy rounds for everything, and we'll go through each and every one of them a couple of times, get folks comfortable with, like, you know, the handling, the manual of arms, the functionality, all of that stuff, so that just to get the jitters out of the way when they get to the course, they're just like a step ahead. So it's like that anticipation of like, ooh, I'm going to encounter a gun for like maybe the first real time, like that part's out of the way, so they can take a little bit more time to focus on like learning the rest of the course material. And then when they're practicing, they're just like a step ahead. So it's a thing I do for folks whenever I get asked. And I did that for a friend on the weekend. And I've got a couple more friends coming over in a couple weeks to do the same. And yeah, and that's about all I did in guns this week.
Why don't you become a PAL instructor?
Got too much on his plate.
I got a lot on my plate, and I had asked Rod about that like a while ago. I think we talked about it. It's enough of a pain in the butt in BC that I haven't like continued to pursue it. There's also just like then I got to get more guns, and then I got to deactivate guns, and oh no, yeah, he says the guy who lives in who has a gun room and isn't limited by space. My safes are all very full already. I don't need another one that's just full of PAL guns, but it's a thing I'd like to do one day, maybe. But yeah.
Retirement job.
Not even a retirement job. I think just maybe something I'd be more willing to explore when I don't have to do like firearms advocacy anymore or stuff like that. Yeah.
Anyway. Right, dreams kept came true. Simplified classification, authorization to carry.
Well, we'll never get an ATC.
The time is 2024.
Yeah, my dream for that, I've talked about it before, is just to have one little stipulation added to the exemptions for restricted firearms, like anywhere a firearm can lawfully be discharged. One day we might get that. Anyway, Tony, what did you do in guns?
I already talked about mine. We'll go to Adriel next.
Yeah, I can do mine. I did a maple seed at Chaz. That was on the Saturday. It was good. So like just previous to the maple seed, I had a guy emailing me and saying like, hey, I don't think I'll be able to make it. You know, my car's in the shop. I got a motorbike, but I don't know how I'm going to get a gun on it and that kind of thing. So I'm like, oh, okay, well, I could take a gun for you. Or and I started thinking, I'm like, man, what if like, are you on the west side of Edmonton? He's like, yeah. I'm like, okay, well, let's just carpool.
Yeah.
I don't look closely at emails for Maple Seed or PAL courses. I got like a billion of them. So I have like copy and paste answers that I give for things and like all sorts of other ways of saving time. And I've shot 3-gun with a guy and he's on our Discord and he's a listener. So as he got in the car, I'm like, oh, you look familiar. And yeah, he very much so. So yeah, anyways, so we carpooled out to Maple Seed. Maple Seed went well. He patched.
Nice. Congratulations to
Andrew. Yeah.
Andrew, the listener. Here we go.
237. 237.
Ooh, Andrew, good score. Good score.
Yeah, that's a solid patch. Event went well. I shot the FPC and it ran flawlessly. And I tested my new MCR piston. And here, I'll show you guys what happened with that.
Throw it away.
It had a very artistic curve in it.
Mm-hmm. It wants to be a gas tube.
Yeah.
So I am going to part this thing out. I'm not going to sell it as is because every permutation that I've tried to build of it bends those piston rods. I don't know what's wrong. And at this point, I no longer care. No longer care what's wrong with it.
So you know what's wrong with it.
Well,
we try multiple pistons too. It's hard.
No, we all know what's wrong with that.
Yeah. So I will. I'll be parting this out. This trigger is gonna make its way onto my other rifle, I think.
Yeah. How is it not on your Raven already?
I was too lazy to take it off.
Exactly. You gotta fix that. Or ask your son to become your gunsmith. Then
no. No. God, no. This is someone who doesn't have a kid.
What? Exactly. I'm still a kid.
He'd fuck it up. That's what he'd do. It would be horrible. Yeah. Things would be bent. He'd be like, why isn't this work anymore? Oh, kid got a hold of it. But no, this gun is going to be parted out. I know that there's guys out there who are looking for like uppers and barrels and lowers and all this kind of stuff. So that's how that's going to be handled. Yeah. This is going out as parts.
All those people that are hoping for a functional 180. One
day. Yeah, maybe they can achieve their dreams on my broken dreams. So I am officially declaring bankruptcy on the 180 platform. I
declare gas bankruptcy. Tube for the win. DI.
I'm out. Yeah, I tried. It ran good for a long time, and now I'm just...
You put a valiant effort into it.
Yeah, you did.
I did fairly well with it too for a while, but now I'm not... like when you were when Amanda was talking about like gun failures and like getting into a match and that kind of thing, like, yeah, you know, you don't want to have your gun fail on you or your kids when they're trying to shoot it in a competition or something like that. So yeah, this thing is getting parted out and sold just like you would to an old vehicle that needed to go.
That's a bit like, honestly, that is just the 180 platform. It is a plinker platform and nothing else. If you have heavy use plans for it, get a different gun.
Yeah, I think that's accurate. I think at low volume it's fine. It's when you get up to high volume that it's just can't hack it.
No.
Nope. This weekend I have another maple seed. 2 weekends in a row. This one's going to be at Bonneville. It's already looking pretty full, and I'm going to shoot some gophers afterwards.
Nice.
That's my plan. I was looking at my 17 HMR and I have my scope on it, but maybe I'll put my scope on it and go tomorrow to the range and sight it in. Or maybe I'll sight it in on the gophers. Maybe I'll do that.
Where
are you going to find the gophers, though?
Alberta. At
the farm?
Yeah.
Every time I make the first shot, they all go away. So.
Oh, but with the 17, I can shoot far. So I'll be at 150. They're not safe. Wheelhouse.
What's your 17 HMR?
I have a Savage BTS. No scope on it, but
That's fun.
Thumb hole stock, nice heavy laminate, and a bull barrel.
It should be a 93
accurate.
Yeah. R17 is the name.
Yeah, I think 93 R17 BVTS or something like that.
That bull barrel is great. I have one on mine.
This thing's super accurate. I can get sub MOA groups at 100 with this thing reliably, and it's ridiculous. Yeah.
How much is the 17 HMR ammo again?
Like 40 cents a round.
Yeah,
more I can't really. 22.
Well, you don't like reloading 223. I would have just loaded for that.
The landowner doesn't like us to use like big bad 223 and that kind of thing on their land. So rimfire only. And I would normally just use 22. 22 is great, but sometimes we're shooting at stuff at 150, and you need probably four rounds out of 22. One of those, and it's going to just blow them apart every time.
Yeah, no, that's my parents are trying to convince me to come back to the prairies before the snow flies, and they're trying to lure me in with gophers.
They know where to go.
Yeah, they know where my soft spot is. They're like, there's lots of gophers
everywhere.
I shoot gophers all weekend, and I'm like, oh, gophers.
It is my favorite shooting activity. More than three gun, more than IPSC, more than going to the range, more than
deer.
Mm-hmm. Shooting gophers is my favorite shooting activity. Yeah. So it's my earliest shooting activity, and it's still my favorite.
He's a legal murderer, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah. Well, think about, like, Tony, you've done maple seed. Think about maple seed, but you have reactive targets.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
But then I still have to load my own ammo, though.
How's yours run the 10? You've got the 10 round mags for it?
Oh yeah.
Mine fine. Mine does not like the first two rounds out of the 10 round mags. And I don't know what the problem is.
I had to modify the mags to make it hold on that rail a little bit more.
Mm.
I don't like the magazine design on these things.
Those are old school flat steel magazines.
This rail on the back here that like grabs on to like the little grabby part and the whole thing, like it's silly. Stupid. That's a silly way of doing it, but the gun itself is stupid accurate. If you mess, it's your fault.
They have the new B17s, which will take rotary magazines.
Nope, those are even worse.
Oh really?
Savage rotary mags are not good. They cheaped out on the wrong spots on them. Look, so if you look at a 10/22 magazine, the feed lips are metal and the body's plastic. Great. That's a good idea. And if you look at the A22 magazines, like there's a little bit of metal and there's a little bit of plastic and there's a seam in between them on. It's silly. It's
for some reason, mine has, at least for a 22, I'm not sure about 17 HMR or the 22 mag. They've worked pretty all right. But
my buddy and a listener has an A22 and he had to clean his recently to get it to feed again. So hopefully it'll work. And then the other thing I did. Yeah. So I'm in downstairs. I've built a new computer with some of Tony's input on what to put into it. So something to edit a little bit faster.
Hopefully it's going to be a good one 2 years from now.
It will be. This computer I'm using right now is 10 years old and it's not fine. But it's workable. It's workable.
Still operational.
It's just like if I try downloading the show while we're like chatting after the show, it kills the audio and multiple systems on this computer because it just gets too busy doing stuff.
So this other computer won't have that problem.
The fourth generation Intel is strong, though. That was what I grinded my teeth on building my first. So
yeah,
it's a good setup.
Yeah, my first build was the second generation, well, Athlon. The first generation Athlon, sorry, AMD. It's old. Anyways, I won't reminisce about that. Let's get into upcoming events. Kyle, do you want to take the three-gun matches?
Yeah. Yep.
Then I'll do them.
Take them all. Do it if you want.
What's that?
So for three-gun matches.
In Sorry.
You're just a natural. So I'll just go through September because that's the next three-gun stuff coming up. So September 6th, 7th, we have the Canadian Multi-Gun Series, the championship finale at Guelph Run Gun Club. On September 7th and 8th, you have Chaz 3-gun Battle of Alberta. Is there any spots left open for that, you know?
Maybe.
It used to sell out, but nowadays, who knows?
That was when we could own ARs.
Yeah.
Or handguns.
Well, that's more when you could buy and sell handguns. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
September 8th, CDTSA 3-gun. That's Milo down south. On September 21st, Sherwood Park is having a 3-gun match. On September 28th and 29th, we have the MP3G team match, and that's in Peace River. So all of those except for, of course, Peace River should be on practice score. Peace River, go on to My Peace 3-gun on Facebook, get a hold of Steve-O, register. I think last I saw there was only three teams registered, but there's going to be a ton more people there. There's usually...
I saw that message, and I'm like, I should probably message Steve.
Everyone, yeah, it happens every year, but you end up having like 50 people there. So, but go register and buy Steve a bottle of rum or something. So that is it for the multi-gun matches. We got anything coming up for Maple Seeds worth a note?
You bet we do. Bonneville, August 24th. That's coming up. I'll be there. And there are still spots available for that one. Although, like, we're pretty much up there. So not much. Tabor, I don't think that's actually a thing, but maybe it is. I don't know. Lloydminster, that's in danger of canceling. If they haven't canceled already, that's August 31st. September 7th is the Lady Seed in Blue Mountain, Ontario. September 14th and 15th is Sherwood Park. That's the September 14th is just a general one, open to anyone. September 15th is ladies only. That ladies only is run through the club, so you need to contact them. For the general one, I think there's still spots, but there might not be for very long. September 21st will be in Manitoba. That'll be at the Broken Head River Game and Fish. And that's enough.
Okay. Oh, we need to run a couple in the lower mainland in the wintertime. Bring Kelly out here so she feels comfortable because it'll rain.
Yeah.
Right? It'll be just like running any other maple seed just in the wintertime.
You realize that if you bring her out, it will snow.
Oh, yeah, you're not wrong, are you? Yeah, you're right.
And don't forget, Kelly Square should be, at least what I've heard, at the, is it Chaz for September 14th, 15th?
Sure, they'll be at the...
No, Shore Park, sorry.
Yeah.
Correction.
Okay, so we got HGG, Firearms Training, PAL course on September 14th.
Filling up fast.
So... You doing a restricted at the same time, or that's just non?
No, I couldn't fit it in, but I'm doing a bunch with Colin actually coming up, so those will be added to the schedule.
Okay, and I just got word of this one, ICTSF English Sporting Worlds. So basically, Worlds for Sporting Clays is going to be held at Wapiti Shooters Club in Grand Prairie next year.
What? So, that's pretty cool.
So yeah, I got a message that's saying great. To book that time off so I could go up and help them. With that,
can't leave the old club behind.
So we will see if I make it up there in August. So it'll be August 13th to 17th next year. So here, announce that. Give you a year to plan if you want to go do a world's championship close to home.
Kyle, be honest. You're never coming back, are you?
I will. I just have reservations on coming back right now because of visa stuff and
everything. Fair.
You know, between my visa being pain in the butt to get back into the country and then in the middle of changing my visa over, yeah, it's kind of up in the air.
No, stay there.
It might take a couple of years. So I told them, I said, we'll see where I'm at in the visa process on whether I make it back to help out. But see a note here. Tony, what's going on at BTSA?
Not too much. Just an update on the ASL Practical Rifle and PCC Fall Championship. As traditional was Taylor, he pushed back the registration. So we'll be opening a week from now instead of a week from last week. So far, the match copy isn't out, but I am hopeful because the ruling says all semi-auto rifles and PCC will be limited to 10-round pistol magazines. Manual action and mini rifle divisions are not restricted. So maybe, just maybe, I can claim the manual action crown again. But
I thought he said last time he wasn't doing that division again.
He is in consideration of killing it. Maybe for my, how do you say it in English? In Chinese,
I'm going to have pity on you and give
in
you
Lianming, yeah, in pity, so I'll be able to win something. But mini rifle will be encouraging, so people will show up with their 10-22,
hopefully.
Too bad
it's not mini gun.
Tony, I'm going to come out with a manually operated gun just to take it from you.
I doubt if your straight pull is going to be faster than my pump action. We'll see.
Oh, I've seen guys run straight pull pretty
That's
fast.
That's true.
It's running blackout, too.
What I'm going to bet is Adriel's not going to load enough ammo for the match, and I'll be able to beat him on my progressive from the preparation standpoint. So my logistic is going to be much better.
Maybe.
All right, well, we'd go on to the news, but I didn't see any news this week, and it doesn't look like anyone else saw any either. So,
no news. We'll go. News.
Usually, yes. We'll jump into the new gun stuff, which is brought to you by Bullseye North. Need a new boomstick? Bullseye North is Canada's shooting superstore and a proud supporter of the CCFR, with a wide selection of guns and top trending gear for any shooter. They have free shipping over $250, which does include ammunition. Some conditions do apply, such as oversized or remote areas. They also have $17 flat rate shipping for orders below $250. You can subscribe to their weekly newsletter to get first access to the hottest deals. And I hope this is current because I had one, but they have 45% off on Bushnell scopes.
Oh, that's so true.
I did have a backup in case that was last week's. So I will do an honorable mention that they also have a couple of the Kel-Tec Gen 3 sub 2000s.
The twisty one.
Yeah, they have two available right now for $750.
That gun just didn't go up with inflation, hey?
Nope.
Nope, $750 all the time. And I don't think the price dropped much for the Gen 2 either.
I feel bad.
I think it dropped $100, didn't it?
I think for the very last second when the Gen 3 are running concurrent. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, fair.
That gun I sold not the Mark III, the Mark II, at the peak price of like the paranoia as everything was getting banned. Managed to sell that, got more money for it than it's worth.
Wow. Nice. I still have mine. I might run EPSIC with it again. We'll see. It runs better than a K9.
Buy a Raven.
Too expensive.
What about sell the sub 2000 in the K9?
I might just get FX9, but I think I need to special order one in.
Yeah. All right. Adriel, you want to go through all the new gun stuff here?
Yeah, I'll just let my gun drop over there and we'll go through the new gun stuff. So there's that sub 2000. The next one here, Sterling Arms. They have announced that their R18 Mark III is going to be coming out. I have not heard of these breaking their pistons. So I guess that's something.
Yeah.
There isn't a lot out there either. I know BTSA, there's one on the range. I've seen just one.
Yeah, I haven't seen a lot out there, but
they're expensive too. They're nice though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Magdump has some 7.62x25 Tokarev. I think this is non-restricted. Surplus. Do you see? Yes, non-corrosive. Non-corrosive Tok ammo. So 1343 per box 050. Yes. And it will stick to magnets.
That that non-corrosiveness is
questionable.
Yeah.
Probably will be. Made in China, so they say it's non-corrosive, it's non-corrosive.
unless I saw that in writing in simplified Chinese, I don't believe it.
Ooh. Ooh, this Tika.
Yeah, it was a good price, and therefore it's sold out. Tika T1X for fairly good price. Did all Flaherty's. Still four in stock. Okay, so Al Flaherty's has the Beretta 1301 Tactical. This is the 18.5-inch barrel. They've got it for $15.84.
That's a very good gun.
Race 3 gun. Very nice.
You need chokes. Need chokes on
it. Yeah, you've got to choke that up.
Yep. Chokes. External threaded.
Yes.
Choke wrench included.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Includes one choke. Cylinder.
One choke?
That's okay.
Cylinder. Wow, that's okay. You can get more.
As long as the barrel can take them, you'll be like a hundred. Well,
you can get more at $100 a choke.
Fair.
Yeah.
Carlson choke will take care of you.
Yep. Carlson over there. Shooting Center, Calgary Shooting Center. They've got the Bushnell Trophy XLT 1-4. So like a, you know, basic 1-4 low power variable optic. $99.
I think I have that on one of my guns.
Oh, this is out of stock now too. All this stuff I found, like,
they seriously go, hey, normal price, like MSRP $99, and we have it on sale for $99.
I think that's incorrect.
I think they have a concurrent 30% mail-in rebate running with Bushnell Official right now, so that's probably why.
Mm.
Who else has this? Okay, you have that. Who else in Canada has this? I just wanted to see what the price is.
I always add Canada into the search term.
Well, I just want to see if, that's a good call. I should have done that. 104.70. Okay, well, this is
in the US. Reese is in the States.
Yeah.
Good enough. Okay, close enough. Let's talk about something else. Rangeview has, okay, this is a good price. Norma Tactical 308.
Yeah, dollar per shot.
$20 for 400 rounds.
Good deal.
That's a hot price.
That's a good deal. They won't have that for long.
No. Because the Nork 308 is right around 90 cents around right now. But this is like basically a buck.
Yeah.
And brass, you can reload them.
I don't have a semi-auto 308 anymore. I've noticed my 308 consumption has decreased exponentially.
You should get a Kel-Tec RFB.
No. M1 Garand Raven in 308.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I like my thumbs.
You'll keep them because all you need to do is press down and lock it, and then it'll pull your hand out.
Mm-hmm.
S&J Hardware has a sale on right now. What did I say over there? 22% off? 20%? 20% off. They have a 20% off sale. So if you're looking for some shotgun stuff, like some shot cards or whatever, they've got all that kind of stuff. And then I Run Guns is bringing in the Tavor 7s. Hey! Wait a minute.
Mm.
308.
308. Semi-auto.
Maybe more your speed. Rather than the old-timey stuff, the spacey stuff. The Tavor 7.
I have an X95. You know, it could always use a friend. We just sent my roommate had a Tavor. He just, like, the guy that bought it left the house a half hour before we started. So.
The big brother is right here.
It's true.
Mm-hmm. And that's all of them.
That's it. $2,100 US.
US.
Little price.
It'll be 28 probably Canadian.
Yeah.
It's an okay deal. I'm more. Somebody needs to get I Run Guns to bring in the 10-inch P90s. I'll buy one of those.
Mm.
I will buy one of those. I especially will buy one of those.
Why don't you just get one and rebarrel one? Come on.
So. Pain in the assy to do that. I looked at it. It's the matter of getting the barrel is the stupid challenge, right?
So they have like some kind of cord or something in their barrel that it's a process.
Yeah, we don't like even the ones that are here, don't screw with them. They're just I just want the 10-inch barrel one. I want the Stargate one, but I want to shoot it.
Cool.
Well, we'll get on to the main topic.
Okay.
And for tonight's main topic, we got Amanda Fisher on to tell us all about IPSC Nationals, the Canadian Nationals that just happened out in Ontario, right?
Peterborough, Ontario.
Awesome. So why don't you give us just a rundown how the match went? How many shooters were there?
I believe there was around 430, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, there was a ton.
Nice. Now, do they cap that match, or that's everyone that, like, how does the registration for Nationals actually work? I've never actually really looked into it.
So this one ran a little bit differently because they didn't use practice score for this match. They used a different method. Everybody had to email in. So typically for a practice score, they do cap it at a certain amount. So that way they can make sure they have extra rooms for the international shooters and for the sponsored shooters and the sponsors and the staff working the match. So you typically cap it anywhere from 350 to 450, depending on how big of a match that they can have and how many stages and bays they have.
Okay. You had mentioned the different system in Ontario. I kind of want to touch on that later on as we get further in. But why don't you give us a quick rundown of the match, how the stages, you know, kind of typical flavor of the match.
You know what? This was an extremely challenging match. There wasn't too many people that shot it clean, if there was any. Everybody struggled on one stage or another. So it was really technical. It was world-class. Like, probably the best Nationals I've ever shot. And I did go to one world shoot in Thailand a couple years ago, and this match was probably just as hard or just about as hard as the world shoot. Like, it was, Ooh. It was technical. It was challenging. There was a lot of misses. There was a lot of makeups, there was a lot of penalties. And just when you think you can start going fast, they put up a penalty target. They put up a no shoot. So it was definitely a technical match. It was really challenging. But the match itself, it ran super smoothly. There was no, there's no major hiccups. There was no bottlenecks. There was no, like, you weren't waiting for the next squad very often. And if you were, it was like for like a shooter or two. So it ran so smoothly. Their organization committee they did a fantastic job. I hope Alberta, so it's going to be in Alberta next year. I don't know if that's a question later, but I hope Alberta gets to get some feedback from Ontario of how they ran the match so well, because it ran nice. But yeah, the stages were challenging, super technical. There wasn't a whole lot of like gimmicky things or, the gimmicks, like, we've had enough of the gimmicks. So it was what appeared to be a straightforward stage, not a straightforward stage. So yeah, it was actually quite challenging. There was a strong hand stage that had mini poppers and steel plates and swingers for strong hand and at a distance. So it wasn't like right in front of you. It was 15, 20 yards away, strong hand.
Okay.
It was a challenge.
I was going to say, like, when you say technical, is that a lot of like partials, no shoots, or was there more distance, like getting out to like 30 yards?
All of the above. There was a great balance of distance, of partials, of no shoots. There was entirely too many no shoots. They was way too far away. I needed them closer. I'm just kidding. It was great. It was a great balance. Like, I cannot praise this match and the match directors enough. Like, it was such a good balance of distance and so accuracy and speed. Like, it was you were being challenged at every stage and differently.
Okay. I read some discussion online about something like it. There was a teeter totter and there were some mixed reviews on that. Which I mean, that's not new to IPSC. I'm just, was there a lot of talk about that at this one? That
No. So there wasn't a whole lot of talk about the teeter totter. It did cause a bit of a challenge, especially for the people that had some mobility issues. But there was an option for them to go around the teeter totter, but they lose 20% of their score if they go around it.
20%, holy cow.
Yeah, only for that one stage. So really, and it wasn't a huge stage worth a lot of points. Like, I want to say it was maybe a 14 round stage, and it may only have been 12. It was 12 or 14 rounds. So it wasn't like a match win or lose type of stage. I was on a teeter totter in Alberta at Nationals a few years ago, and it definitely broke an ankle or more than one. So that one was a death trap. I was in another teeter totter down in Arizona, and they had a foam piece at the end. So when the teeter totter landed, it landed on foam. So it was a softer landing. And I think that's a takeaway, that if I see a teeter totter again, I would encourage them to use the foam. So is a teeter totter a great idea? I don't think so, because it's potentially dangerous. But even like, that was the stage that I started on day one. Unfortunately, it was wonderful, and it had just finished raining, so it was a little bit slippery, but they had grip tape, so it wasn't too bad. I did have to take my time on it, but no, it was all right.
Can I just interject and ask, you know, you said there's grip tape. So almost like there's like an adequate way to make something that's unsafe at least a little bit safe, so that it's still doable, right?
Yeah,
absolutely.
Tongue in cheek, talking about other things. Anyway, continue on. Yeah, my apologies.
No. Yeah, it was good.
So, what about the movement through the stages? Was it like a lot of stand and deliver, or was there how would you describe the movement on the stages?
There wasn't a whole lot of run and gun. As soon as you're getting ready to run and gun, it was like, oh, no shoot. So it was, there wasn't a whole lot of run and gun. There was a little bit, again, there was a balance. The really good shooters could run and gun it. Like Taylor Reich, like I'm sure he just blazed everything, because he's just Taylor. Corey Lawrence and another guy that just blazes everything, and they just move so like on water. Like those guys are just, they can move. But for me, there wasn't a whole lot of running and gunning, because there was a penalty right there, or a partial. So, but there was a little bit.
Right.
Yeah. It was a hard match.
Well, I mean, it's a national championship. So
that's
right. I think that's like, with the teeter totter and everything. And I just brought that up because I had seen there was some discussion on it. And that's really about the only like critique I was seeing on the stage. Everything else I was seeing was that it was absolutely fantastic, and they really stepped it up, and like the production quality of the match was like the best ever.
Next level. And you know, like Cooper Tunnels, like nobody likes to shoot a Cooper Tunnel, but they had an option that you could shoot the targets through the Cooper Tunnel, or you could shoot them, I don't know, probably 10 yards further back, which of course I'm going to choose that option. So I can just like run through the Cooper Tunnel. So like they had options that you could avoid some obstacles to a certain degree. Or you could just run up and then run all the way back around. You didn't have to do the Cooper Tunnel at all. So they did have options for some mobility limiting stages, but It was such a good match. They did such a good job. I can't praise it enough.
So it sounds like in your opinion, it was not just well balanced, but well designed.
Yeah, it was well designed. They strategically placed each stage in the right spot. So some bays had two stages and some bays only had one stage. And so they were able to strategically place different stages in the right places, so that way there was no bottlenecks and there wasn't a whole lot of waiting for squads, because you know, you get into this routine and you get mentally prepared to shoot, and then you get to a stage and it's like, oh, now I got to wait 20 minutes for them to finish. And then you lose your mojo and you just want to keep shooting, right? It's like, ugh, there was none of that. Well, I didn't experience any of that. And even running my stage, there was none of that.
Awesome.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, why don't we lead right into working it? How was it working the match?
So working the match was good. The tough thing about working the match is you have to shoot the pre-match. And shooting the pre-match is usually when you work out some of the kinks or all of the kinks or most of the kinks. And so there could be some issues with props, but again, there wasn't a whole lot of that either. Everything just seemed to work so smoothly. So shooting the match is one challenging part because you don't get to shoot with like the best of the best. So that's a little bit of a challenge. But working the match was great. The match organizers were, they had everybody assigned to a stage, a CRO and two ROs assigned to a stage. And after we shot the pre-match, we all met at the range the evening before. We got our RO shirts, our CRO shirts, and our match assignments, and we get to meet who we were officiating with that week. And we got to go to our bay, and we've already shot it, but then we got to have a rundown of what it needed to look like every morning. And of course, there was a there was a contest on who had the cleanest bay. And because I was being super competitive, of course, I was like having a super clean bay. And my CRO missed that whole competition. And he thought I was just trying to keep busy until the very last day. He was just, and somebody told him, he's like, oh, that's why Amanda keeps cleaning the bay. Like,
that's what your shooters are for.
Well, they had to reset. So the way the Nationals is ran now, so it used to be you shot 2 half days and you worked a full day, which some people like that. I kind of like that because then I don't have to work and shoot at the same time. Mm-hmm. But no other Nationals or even Worlds is like that. So I do prefer the shoot 2 half days and work a full day. That way you are just pasting and resetting on a day. You don't have to paste and reset while you're working. But doing it this way, it prepares you for when you go to the world stage. When you go to Worlds, you have to pace as you go. So if you're not used to that, I was not used to that. The world shoot was the first time I ever had to do that. And I didn't like it. Like, I hated it. And I thought we should never, ever do that. But then, now going to other international matches, that's how they do that. You work and shoot at the same time. They have designated officials, but everything else you do at the same time. There is some mixed reviews, and I do believe, like, if I remember correctly, I think I seen Taylor say that he would prefer us to go back to the 2 half days and work for full day. But if you're going to prepare for like a world shoot, you need to keep in that same that same mindset of you have to work and shoot at the same time, even though it sucks because it doesn't allow your mental game to be totally focused. And it's hard to stay focused. But well,
I think that would be better accomplished at your local level, like your normal run of the mill matches than that one national match. Like I've shot both ways. I do really love doing the work shoot schedule. Because, yeah, when you're shooting, you get to just focus on your shooting. Like, 3-gun, except for, like, Chaz, all of 3-gun is you're working while you're shooting. And even USPSA down here, like you said, is all that as well. And so, like, yeah, I get what you're trying to say with getting prepared for Worlds or something. But I think that would be better accomplished on the local level and then take the Nationals. So, hey, you get your treat. Here's your work shoot schedule.
Yeah, wouldn't that be nice? I would prefer it to be that way. I just, knowing that Worlds is coming up next year, I would like to practice my mental game, having to balance.
Oh, for sure.
How do you go about that when you're there on the day? Like, what's your process for like practicing your mental game?
So your mental game, and I guess this is probably this is something that's debatable, but I believe that your mental game is 90% of your game when you get to the match. Everything else you should be able to do just by muscle memory. You should be able to just do your draw and shoot your target. So your mental game is super important. So when I'm in the hole, so the third shooter out, I stop patching, I stop resetting, and I'm running my plan. And even when the shooter that is shooting, even long before then, while I'm pacing, I'm running my stage plan. I'm staying focused on what I need to do. Staying focused and staying out of conversations as much as possible is really important, because you just need to focus on what it is you need to accomplish there, and then take a mental break and go and pace your targets, and then come back. And then when you're the third shooter out, you put your paint down, you put your pasters down, and you just focus. This is where I'm going to draw. This is where I'm going to do my mag changes. I'm going to run to here. I'm going to run to there. I'm going to do this, that. So working on your stage plan is really important when you're the entire time. But for me, when I'm the third shooter out, I switch to 100% mental focus at that point.
I'm just a quick follow-up question about that.
Hey, Drew, I'm mute.
When something goes wrong on you in the middle, so like, you know, the whole, like, you want to make God laugh, make a plan, you know, when something goes wrong, what's your, like, do you don't beat yourself up, just like move past it? Have you gotten to, like, you're obviously like really to that point, but do you ever like internally get to like, oh, damn it, you know?
Absolutely. So I'm pretty good at, well, in the middle of a stage, as soon as you mess something up, like you do an extra mag change and you need all your mags, then you're like, at that point, you're mentally counting. So now you're not focused on what you should be doing. So it slows you down. It messes up the entire stage. So it's hard to come back from that. But like, if you're thinking about the whole match in its entirety, if I mess up one stage, it's really important to be able to leave that result at that stage and move past it. This match, it was so hard. My first stage, I got a mic, a miss. And I'm like, you know what? I'm going to leave it there. It's fine. Go to my next stage, same bay, mic again. I'm like, oh, cool. We're just going to leave that on this bay. Go to the next stage, mic. Okay. So now I'm like, now it's like starting to get at me mentally. And I went into this match and I'm like, this match is mine. I'm going to do this. Like, I felt so good about it. I'm like, yes, I was telling my shooting partner and my sponsors. I'm like, you know what? This is my match. I'm going to crush it. Get to my fourth stage, another mic. And I'm like, I was so angry at this point. It was so hard to get back into that mental game. And I'm like, okay, I need to just do this. So I believe I shot 8 stages on the first day, and I had 6 mics. So 2 clean stages. It was infuriating and tough. So that mental aspect of getting your mental state, your mental state back on track is, it gets difficult when you are getting that many penalties. When it's just like one mic and then you can move on and then you can not have any more mics, it's a little bit easier, but it is really important to leave those mics on, or those penalties or whatever procedurals that you're getting on that stage, and then move forward. Because if you beat yourself up, then you're losing that mental state. So after the first day, I went back to my hotel and I just like, I got some rest and I decompressed, and I went to the match the next morning, and I left yesterday, and I'm like, I'm going to do better. First stage, Mike. I'm not even kidding.
Have you tried talking down to yourself during the stage, trying to shoot faster, making up for the mic with more bullets down range? Yeah,
positivity
faster.
Doesn't seem to be doing it.
Yeah, negativity.
So some of my videos, I'm like, I'm doing the low to make ready. I'm like, all alphas. You're going to get all alphas, all alphas really quickly, all alphas really quickly, all alphas really quick, all alphas. So some of my videos I won't even post, because that's exactly what, and I'm saying it out loud. Let's do this fast. All alphas. And I'm so mad at this point. I'm just throwing my a temper tantrum inside. It was so fun.
That's a positive way to throw a tantrum.
Yeah. It's different from mine. Mine is don't DQ.
But you want to focus on what you want to accomplish, not what you don't want to accomplish. Because then you're like, oh, if I'm going to say no mics, all I can say is mic. So I want to say all alphas, because then you're focusing on the positive, right?
Yeah.
It was so the second day, I only got the one mic, and then I got two no-shoots. It was so sweet. I swear they jumped out in front of me.
They tend to do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. it was all right. Yeah.
So with all that said, how'd you do in the match?
This is a surreal question. Like it's been 2 weeks now and it's still mind blowing. So, for the first time ever, I became the 2024 Canadian National Ladies Champion in the production division.
Wow, awesome. Congrats. Congratulations.
Kyle, you asked the wrong question. I'm going to ask. So, who is the first place winner of the production division in ladies for the IPSC Nationals in Canada 2024?
Oh, isn't that crazy? Like, it's just, I'm like, I can't even believe it. And like, you guys, like, I just. So, they didn't use practice score. And what they use was a system called ESS. I forget what it stands for, but it's trash.
It's trash. So what?
Oh, why it's been around a long time though.
Ontario
I know that is. Yeah.
Practice score. I know part of it, but like they seem to really hate practice score.
They do. And I'm like, practice score is so handy, but ESS. So at the end of the stage, at the end of the match, they need to make your scores available to you so you can review them and you can say, yes, these are correct, or no, there was a mistake here. And so they made everybody's scores available. So I'm sitting there and I'm adding up my points. And the lady that I have never beaten, Lise Mahoney, she is so great. She and like inside and outside, she's a great shooter. She's a friend. I love this woman. So I add up my points and then I add up her points and she's 27 points ahead of me. And last year she beat me by 30 points. And as you guys know, like that's two mics.
Yep.
And I had seven of them. So 27 points, and I'm like, so I'm leaving the match, and I'm super disappointed, and I had no idea that this was coming, but I didn't count that my time, like I didn't do the math for time and points. I didn't say, oh. Well, I beat her on 10 of the 18 stages, but I beat her on the bigger stages. So I beat her on the ones that have more points. So when they called me up and when they said that she got second, I'm like, did I get fourth? Like I knew I had a bad match, but like, darn it. And when they called my name, you guys, it's surreal. Holy smokes. Still crazy. The ESS system, why do they use it? I don't know. So the pro about the ESS system is it was ran off a network. So you didn't have a stats person with a master tablet that had to go and pull and push scores and like competitor updates. So like if there was a DQ, we didn't have to go and push it to each tablet. So because it ran on a network, if there was a DQ or a warning or a procedural that was given to a competitor, it just automatically updated to all of the tablets in the entire match the entire time. It was lovely for that. However, on the pre-match, the first morning of the pre-match, it was pouring rain and the network went down for 45 minutes. So guess what happened to the match? It went down for 45 minutes because you can't even enter a score in for 45 minutes.
Oh my goodness.
Wow.
You have no offline backup. That's, yeah. Each ship pattern can act independently.
So if you are using the app, you can use it like you do Practice Score. But we weren't using the app. We were using the web-based program, which has its pros, but it has more cons, in my opinion, than pros. Like, you have enough staff, send somebody around with a master tablet and do the pushing and pulling. Like, you have a golf cart, send them around. Like, I will be that person for you if that's what you want. Like, I will pull and push and, like, make sure everybody's tablets are up to date. Like, let's do it that way.
Well, and you don't even have to, well, yeah, I guess you have put both of them in sync. I was going to say you don't have to bug them, but I mean, it's a quick second in between squads kind of thing.
That's right. And so there was a few times during the main match when like our tablet, like my stage tablet went down. And so like it froze and just like how your web browser freezes but it didn't freeze for like 5 seconds or 10 seconds. Like it froze for like sometimes 10 minutes. So I'm like, you know what? We're going to keep match flow. So I grabbed a target. I grabbed a Sharpie and I wrote their points and their hits and their time. I wrote it all down and I got the competitor to look. I'm like, this is right. They're like, yep. And then once we got our tablet put back online, then we entered it in. Then they approved it on the tablet. And so it was like, yeah, the ESS system has its pros, has its cons, but I am biased. I prefer Practice Score. ESS, I do believe, though, was built for IPSC for the World Shoot. And I believe that it was the World Shoot that it was the first time it was used. The one thing about ESS is you can export that data and put it into Practice Score Competitor. So that way you can still manipulate data and see your standings that way. But because we had so many competitors, it was a big list, like everybody's name and all of the stages. I think there was 18 stages. It's like last week and I can't remember. So I think there's 18 stages and 400 competitors. So there was a lot of line items. So what they did is they made it collapsible. And so as soon as they made each name collapsible, now Practice Score doesn't like that, like competitors. So they can no longer pull that data and put it into competitor, which sucked because then I could see where I was. Until they stopped doing that, I'm like, oh, cool, thanks, guys.
Well, it's funny you mentioned like World Shoot, and it was the first time ESS, but even World Shoot's gone to Practice Score. Like the rest of North America, like,
yeah, right? I thought World Shoot, well, Handgun World Shoot is ESS.
No, because like rifle was just on Practice Score. Like, you can log on to Practice Score and see the rifle World Shoot. I believe the shotgun World Shoot was on Practice Score.
Yeah, it should. That's
like, I'm looking at results and it's not on the competitor app. It's on the Practice Score website.
Yeah, it's a much better website. It's a much better program. Yes, you have to push and pull, but so what?
Yeah.
Where are the scores for ESS posted?
So we had a little name badge with a QR code that we could scan. I can send you guys a link.
It's not like on the website. I can't just search up like IPSC Canada and see some scores.
It's not as easy. I was trying to find Taylor's score after he posted his win. I was like, something in here.
That seems silly.
I think even Chaka Nationals back in 2019 was Practice Score. So it's just IPSC Handgun in Canada, in Ontario. It's
Yeah.
So, maybe some
IPSC people are sticklers for old rules.
I can't use the yellow bricks anymore. Thankfully, the yellow bricks guy is going out of business. They're stopping making. They're not making yellow bricks anymore.
Yeah, yellow bricks.
It's about time.
It is about time. Yeah, we IPSC Alberta needs to upgrade the new gun.
The AMGs are nice. The AMGs are nice.
Yeah.
So, in your opinion, like, how did these nationals compare to others? Like just like on a 1 to 10 scale, do you think these were like some of the best? What are your thoughts?
10 out of 10, and I'm not even using that score lightly. the organization was great. You know what? 9 out of 10, because they use ESS. The organization was great. The stages were amazing. They were challenging. They were technical. The staff was great. I was unable to manipulate, like we didn't have any classes, like A class, B class, C class. Like we didn't have any of that. Which whatever. But like the important things, like the organization and match flow and the banquet was amazing. It was in a beautiful place. The food was delicious. They had an abundance of food. It was, everything was great. Like everything except for ESS was great. Like it was so well ran. There was such good communication, and being staff, of course they had to communicate with us even more. They had all of their staff already grouped up. They had staff assignments great. Like everything was just like good for them.
That's awesome. And I think you've kind of already answered my follow-up question on if there's anything they could be doing better. I think we've solidly beat that one to death.
Technology department.
Yeah. Technology. Yeah, that is the only thing. Like, I don't know if I can pick apart anything. Maybe less opportunities to have mics. I don't know.
But no, I actually, like, you know, you said it yourself. Like, you got, what did you say, 7 mics? And still, you know, you came out on top. And that speaks to, you know, like, that ability to focus at the point, like you didn't throw any of those stages still, even with the mic. And so that speaks to, like, you know, that mental preparation and being able to still operate, because, you know, you accomplished that with 7 mics, and that's impressive.
Yeah. The mental game is so important, and it consumes a lot of people. I watched a number one guy tank one of his first nationals, and it's like, his mental game just wasn't there. And I think he learned a lot from that nationals, and he came back better and he won the nationals. I do want to give a special shout out to Taylor Reich though. Like, y'all know Taylor, and he won the match.
Yeah.
Like yep. As a production optics shooter, he won the entire match. He beat all of the Like his mental focus and his skill is insane.
He's a beast, yeah.
And I have to deal with him on club level matches too.
And Mel is just his sweetheart. Like the two of them, power couple indeed. Like they're just, she is also a beast. Like it is so good to see them winning and doing so well. And yeah.
What would you say, like, the demographic breakdown was at nationals, like
men to women?
Yeah.
I don't know that answer. I want to say there was, I'm gonna guess 40 women.
Yeah. 10%.
Okay. That's
not bad.
Yeah, it's not bad. There's some ladies that I know that wanted to go that couldn't go for various reasons. But yeah, we have lots of women in this sport, especially Alberta really has a lot of women. I believe Ontario really has a lot of women. Yeah. Saskatchewan and Manitoba don't have many. BC has a few. I think Nova Scotia has like 2, maybe 3. So yeah, there's lots from Ontario, Quebec.
So still lots of potential for growth at that level for sure.
Absolutely. We need more women in the sport. Yeah. Like it's hard to get women into the sport because firearms are intimidating. Like, I'll be the first to admit that I was not pro gun. I'm sure you guys all know that about me. Like, I was anti gun not too long ago. So yeah. I'm going from to this was a big step, and it was scary. So yeah.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. You had kind of alluded, but so Nationals is in Alberta next year, right?
You betcha. It's in Tabor.
No, planning's already started with that. You Are you taking up the reins for stats manager?
It's not much of a job if it's practice score.
Apparently. I don't know what they'll have me doing. I'll do whatever it is that they want me to do, but I typically am the stats person here. Like I'm the stats trainer. I stepped down from stats this year so I could focus on my CRO officiating and becoming part of IROA. So I really needed to get some extra matches in for that. So I stepped down from stats a little bit this year, but if they need me for stats next year, then that's where I'll be. But I'll be wherever they need me to be. I'll help out wherever they need me to help out. You know me. I'm always in there somewhere.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Paper's
a good spot for it too.
Yeah, they have an awesome range there. From what I've seen, I haven't been able to shoot there, but yeah.
It's windy though. Like the trees are on an angle all the time. You probably think I'm full of it, but they are seriously on an angle because it is so windy all the time. It's insane.
Can't use that for an excuse for the mics though.
No.
The wind didn't influence your bullet that much. Well, heck, man.
No, 100% influence. It's like the no shoes jumped up in front of me. Well, right?
Just think of the stage design possibilities. Now you can do the shoot around the corner stage.
Yeah. 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 And have my bullets just blow into the target. Ooh. Yeah. Tabor.
Well, awesome. Anybody else have any more questions?
I don't have any specific questions about that. I a couple of other questions I wouldn't mind asking you if that's cool. One that before we started rolling, I'm just curious because I have a meeting with my MP soon. Would you, as a professional shooter, say that you have adequate firearms options available to you post May 2020 ban? Now that we're 4 years in, do you feel that there are adequate replacement options available on the Canadian market to you?
She's already loaded those two guns, so
was a loaded question. So I was a three-gun competitor, and I no longer compete in three-gun because I cannot take out my Daniel defense. She's my safe queen. I love her. I will keep her forever and ever and ever. If my handgun breaks, okay, if I could express how much time and money and energy and effort I've put into this sport to get to where I'm at today, if my handgun breaks, I cannot replace it. I cannot buy a new one. So everything that I love about the sport, the community, the places I get to travel, like I've traveled in so many different places around the world because of the sport. I can no longer do that because I can't buy a handgun. I can't take out my AR-15. So three gun is done for me. I don't have an alternative. So no, I don't have an alternative, and nor can I get an alternative. I don't know that the government is aware. Maybe they're aware and they don't care. I know they're aware because I had a lovely conversation with Justin Trudeau and Bill Blair one time. So they are aware, but I don't think they care. And I think they think that what they're doing is going to stop crimes with firearms. And like, you can see the stats, it's not doing it.
I personally don't actually think that they think that. I have a strong opinion that they do not believe that, not at all. I personally truly believe that they have done a terrible job for a decade, have absolutely nothing to offer the public, and we are the very, very low-hanging, easy-to-throw-under-the-bus fruit, and they are a government that has shown a complete comfort with throwing people under the bus at every single opportunity. I think that that's true for anybody in our sport, for our community, the businesses. I don't believe that they care about any of it. They are aware. Like, I know that my federal MP is aware. We had many conversations before and after the ban about how he destroyed my other business that I had just gotten started. And I don't think that they care. I think that it is more about continuing on than actually doing anything about crime, because they hide those stats at every opportunity, and, you know, they avoid them, don't want to talk about them, ignore them. Facts are not a thing that they're interested in.
Absolutely. It is, it is an scapegoat of doing, instead of doing something that will actually do something to curb the crime, they're doing the low hanging fruit, but it's not doing anything and it won't do anything. It is so frustrating. It's, can you imagine, do you know how upset I will be if I break my gun?
Yeah. I mean, that was, so right before the ban, I snapped up a 320, a SIG 320, just for the repair and replaceability of that particular model of firearm. As we all know, because I do a lot of reloading, and that's always the, like, that's the real fear, is I'm going to blow my gun up after I've, mm-hmm. you know, and because, like, it can happen. I've seen it happen. And yeah. I'm like, okay, the odds that I completely destroy this particular gun in an irreparable fashion are lower than every other handgun that I have. I wanted to just ask just kind of a follow-up to that. Do you, cause like I know at the banquet and everything, like you've had an opportunity to talk to a lot of people. Do you find that, you know, those feelings of frustration and alienation that we're not being listened to are echoed by the community that was there?
Yeah, absolutely. I don't know if you can find one gun owner, firearm owner, that would agree with the federal government. I had conversation with one fella that's like, you know what, the federal government has absolutely every right to do this, and I'm going to give up my guns, and I think you should too. And I'm thinking, like, you are, what is wrong with society? What about you giving up your firearms is going to make the community safer? Are you going to go out and use them in a way that you shouldn't? No, you're not. So how is that making the community any safer?
I think the important thing, like the reason that I'm really interested in, like, in your opinion and your experience there in particular, is that, you know, when you're talking about nationals, you're talking about a cross section of, like, the highest skilled shooters in the sport, right? The true and honest sportsmen, and the folks that are doing this at a level like that they can go internationally. This is an internationally recognized sport. And it's easy to find someone in the, like, 2.5 million gun owners that has no brain. I'm not shocked that there are a couple of people that have drank the Kool-Aid. But I think the folks that are actually involved in the sport, who are emotionally connected and passionate, like, hearing you talk about your dad in the fence, I feel the exact same way about mine. Heartbreaking that I can't take it out and shoot it. Because that gun in particular, and it's just funny, I love that that's your baby, because that was mine. That was the one that I worked really, really hard to get from poor kid to, that was the, I've achieved a thing. And so, like, I think it's important, and it's really easy to ignore people that actually care. Like you said, you've put in an enormous amount of work to get to this point. And as has everybody that was shooting there, that, like, everyone that was there cares. They've sacrificed, they've spent a fortune, they've put thousands and thousands of hours into it. Those are the people that, you know, all the whole reason that we have a system that lets us do this is really for folks within this sport, in this community. And I think it's important to highlight that they're not being listened to.
I agree. And even though we can yell from the rooftop that we're not being listened to, but they're still not going to listen. Being in Alberta and having Danielle Smith, like, she's doing the right thing. Our CFO, oh, she is like chef's kiss, man. She is amazing. Like, I love her. She is fighting the fight, and she's knowledgeable. She's experienced. She has firearms and has used them for decades. Like, we are so lucky to have her.
You really are. I'm so envious. Like, I have a decent amount of interaction. I don't know. I have a film armorer's license, and I have a decent amount of interaction with the CFO here in BC. And yeah, I find myself envious of you guys at every turn.
We're fortunate to have to have her for sure. She's definitely fighting the right fight.
Yeah, absolutely.
See if there's a market for film armorers down here.
Probably is.
Yeah,
Calgary.
I've thought of it. I've thought about it, but you know, winter.
Yeah, we have that.
It's the price you pay.
Yeah, I thank you. Sorry, I'll get off my soapbox now. I really appreciate that, though.
Yeah, no, I'm on the same soapbox. I also ran out and bought a second Shadow 2 for literally twice the price that I paid for my first one because the markup was insane, but I had no choice. So I do have a backup, but I broke mine. My extractor broke a week before Nationals, and I'm like, it just gets in your head. What if this breaks? The last time my extractor broke, my trigger return spring broke the weekend after. So it was like, now what's going to break? And those are replaceable. But what if my frame breaks? I'm done. So I do have a backup, but.
Yep. Not like the Shadow has a bad habit of doing that or anything.
Right.
Those Gen 1s for the Shadow 2s.
I did have a Gen 1 Shadow 2 that had a broken frame that I had to get replaced.
Yep, me too.
The Gen 2s are good.
Gen 1. Hasn't been replaced yet.
You got a welder.
I got a couple of other pistols.
Can they issue a serial match replacement? I don't think CZ will do that.
Nope,
they don't.
I've heard STI doing that. Only heard, though. I haven't seen it.
You'd never get it in the country. Sorry, I didn't mean to leave it on such a low note. I should have asked those questions first.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Real quick, one positive question. What model of Daniel Defense do you have?
The M4 V11.
Ooh, very pretty.
Yeah, which one do you have?
M4 V5.
Ooh. I love all these, her.
All these buy once, cry once rifles.
Yeah.
She's heavy, but I love her. I started buying the parts to like the Aero Precision lower. I have an Aero Precision lower. And I started buying all the parts to build one and mm-hmm. get an upper.
Yep. Well, one day I'm confident you'll get to take her out again. I have extra confidence that there might be a world where we get the simplified classification system, and maybe you'll get to really take her out one day. That's my hope.
Hey, you know what? You have to stay dream positive. Big. You have to keep dreaming. Yeah, you know what? Why not? Otherwise, I'll just cry.
It's like it's the mental thing. You gotta put that energy out there, right?
That's right. Yeah. Absolutely.
Awesome.
All right. Well, thank you, Amanda, for coming on and filling us in on IPSC Nationals and everything else.
Yeah. Where can people find you? Instagram or Facebook? Yeah, where do they find you?
And Facebook, Amanda Fisher, competitive shooter. All one word, I think, or maybe there's four words in there, but it is Amanda Fisher, competitive shooter. Follow along. I don't just share the good stuff. I also share the bloopers and the whoopsies and the real life stuff. Like it's not all, nothing's perfect. So I share it all. So you can come and laugh with me. And if you scroll down not too far, you can see where I landed on my behind shooting a shotgun at 3-gun a few years back. That was so good. Yeah, thanks so much for having me and for getting all of the positive word out for firearms. Like you guys are doing great. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Awesome. Thanks, man.
Before Amanda signs off, I would like to give her a special thanks for doing the interview with City News. You can find that portion of the interview as Loaded Law, Handgun Ban Sending Some Sports on Slow Death March on YouTube. And you can find the full version on the CCFR Facebook page as well. So thank you, Amanda.
Of course. No problem, guys.
Cool. Thanks.
Awesome. Have a good day. See you guys.
Yeah, later.
See ya.
And thank you again to Amanda for coming on and telling us about the the IPSC Nationals, all the good, a few of the gripes, and, well, the weeds we got into afterwards.
Yeah, the weeds are,
Weeds are fun. They're good.
Fun. She was a lot of fun to talk to.
Oh, yeah, she's great to talk to.
Here's the question. If it's in Alberta next year, do I borrow a handgun to shoot it?
Yes.
Yes.
No, I have to borrow actually, a
hopefully
handgun.
By this time next year, you'll just buy your own handgun.
That's it.
I'm going to buy like a $3,000 Ruger SR1911 because the price is all effed up.
Yeah. Ooh,
that just sounds gross.
Yeah. So that was a thing I didn't talk about last week or whenever when I went down to the States, spent some time. There's a Cabela's that is kind of it's like a halfway point between my like social circle of friends and home. So I always stop there for like, cause there's like a gas station there. There's a Walmart, Home Depot. It's like all of the like essentials that I might need before I go. Cause I usually like camp in their yard or whatnot, but I always go to Cabela's and always break my heart when I look at their handguns. I will be so poor when I get down there. I can't believe how affordable handguns are down there. I'll have so many more than I do now. It's bananas.
Practice self-control. So much. Think about all the money you're going to save.
Hopefully soon I'll have a 365.
Ooh, yeah. I was actually going to ask, because what are you carrying now?
It's Taurus, a Taurus of sorts.
Yeah, GX4.
Yeah, so
it's hard to shoot because it's micro-compact.
Buy once, cry once.
No, it's buy with money because money is going everywhere. So it's, like I want to buy a Staccato for carry gun. I'm not saving up $2,500 to buy one right now. So I will spend like $800 on a 365, not $1,200 on the Legion I want. I'll buy the steel frame afterwards.
And there's your benefit for a sick gun.
I will be that guy that has like four guns on me because they'll be comical. Like, I love little guns. there's a little 380 SIG. A friend of mine, she has one, and I have to shoot it every time I'm hanging out with her. But it's like $450 gun, and it's got no recoil, and it fits in the palm of your hand. I'm like, oh, this would just live in my pocket always. It'd be great.
Yeah.
Don't pack any extra mags. Just pirate reload.
Just all the
drop it.
Yeah, exactly.
Boondock Saints thing for your for your reloads.
Yeah, exactly.
We get into listener feedback. We haven't had much for live interaction. Got Sean saying hey, my lunatic saying, but thankful to him for what he had. That was with the first aid kit. What he had. But we did get a few emails.
Tony,
and
how many emails did you send the show?
Well, I think Tony is starting to use aliases because they're all from three different
people. That's a good call.
And two of them have weird spellings.
Ooh.
ESL exposed.
You know what, Dustin? Why don't you take the first one from Kevin?
Sure. From Kevin. Oh, this is great. This is why. Quentin Tarantino's chrome-plated Spanish star Model B in Pulp Fiction used by Samuel L. Jackson, a.k.a. Jules. That is an excellent film gun and a bit of a deep cut. And that's an attainable gun. Not here.
It's
here, but even before it's the barrel's too short. But yeah, that's a great one. Thank you, Kevin.
Adriel, you want to take this one from Lincoln?
Good evening, Slamfire crew. Congratulations to the new hosts. You guys are doing very well, entering and informing the listeners. On the subject of best movie guns ever, I agree with Mal, Reynolds' sidearm from Firefly, but you also missed Jane's favorite gun, Vera, and Zoe's gun of choice, the Mare's Leg. I would like to say the minigun from Predator is iconic in movie history. Video games, it's down, hands down, the Final Fantasy Gunblades. For anime, it's Helsing's Alucards, Helsing Arms 454 Kassul, unofficially known as the Joshua. Yes, I'm a nerd. Keep up the good work and support the CCFR. Now go to a friend's place and choose something.
Lincoln, you're firing on all cylinders. I just about bought that 30 caliber auto mag gun. They're horrible. They don't function well, and a buddy of mine talked me out of it, but just because I wanted an Alucard gun, and they don't make that gun at Sewell in real life. Also, fun fact, Jane's gun Vera is a bullpup AK-47 with a whole bunch of cool furniture on it. Sorry.
Cool.
Those are all good picks. Excellent. Sorry. I'll shut up now.
Oh, you're good. I'll take the one from Benjamin, unless Tony really wants to take it. No? Okay. Hey, guys, it's been a while. Glad to hear you guys got some fresh meat. First off, P90 from Stargate SG-1. Reasons not to get one besides the price tag, something about a 50-round mag pinned to 5 that just hurts. Also, MP5s. Fives. I don't know why, but I really like the short barrel with pistol grip right off the front. I have to say, I agree with Dustin about the Jericho 941. Not sure if I'm right, but I think they used to use them a lot as prop guns a couple years back. Keep up the good work. Keep smiling.
Yep. I'm assuming that's Benjamin and just...
No, that's Benjamin? How the email was spelt, was Benjamin.
Benjamin? Ben.
Like on the front from, that's how it was spelt.
This excellent. you aren't part of our group chat, but I was actually teasing everybody in the group chat because I have photos of me with the SG-1 Stargate P90s because that was filmed here. And I literally can't walk into that armory without playing with them. And everybody knows it. They're used to it now. Because they're amazing. And yeah, the Jerichos, they were super dirt cheap. Whole bunch of the like police issue ones came on the scene, and like I know a whole bunch ended up here. And there's some clones as well that were on the market for a while. And I love it every time I see one. Because they're just like a little bit different and have a little bit of character. We love like handing those out to like if you got a bad guy or if just anybody that needs like a gun that's not just like a black bullet box. I love it. I'll clock a Jericho on anything. It makes me happy.
Nice. Sorry.
Quiet.
Oh, good. We got a few YouTube comments from last week. So first one comes from Tony. 2023 correction for Kelly. I believe she wanted to mention Apex Optics, but was distracted by my flag.
I think she said Vortex in the video, but just a thing. I guess I'll do the rest since everyone's busy reading. User dash UX8 dot 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 Terminator 2 lever action shotgun 1887. Yes, very nice. Tombstone long barrel Colt RoboCop 2 UC dash M21. So I'm not familiar with the RoboCop gun. Maybe Dustin will have more insight on that.
It was, yeah, it's like a Guthrie Def Auto Beretta, I think.
Cool. Harry Nelson says, the Chris Vector is notably one of those guns that have been super popular almost purely because of video games and other media. I'll agree, but I personally think that gun's really ugly. It is very fast shooting, though, so that's something.
And cool.
And
very spacey.
And ugly. He also mentioned Tika in 303 when, Eddie throws back, saying... when 303 becomes popular in Europe. I guess when the British Empire rises again. CTL Dynamics, so I'm guessing Control Dynamics. Pistol, Bad Boys 2, Mike Lowry's...
Mike Lowry.
Oh, God, I can't read this.
Akimbo Glock 17.
Akimbo Glock 17. Rifle... To Chappie?
Chappie. Ninja's yellow MK18 Mod Zero with pink mag.
Yeah, that's pretty good. It's up my alley.
Shotgun John Wick 4. TTI should be Terran Tactical.
It's TTI, yeah.
Yeah.
Gen 12, so AR-based shotgun. No. Is it not?
The Canadian government likes to think so, but it is not a variant of the AR.
I guess not. It looks
careful with that.
God, I think that ship has sailed. Subgun Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare Suppressed Stern Mark II. Machine gun Rambo 2008 Modus mounted on a tactical. Okay. So we got the Toyota again in here. Sniper rifle also from Rambo Schoolboys Barrett M107 CQ. And Wildcard Aliens M56 Smart Gun.
Those are all excellent choices.
And yeah, a way to see my English deficiency.
No, you did great. I want to say that M107, I was first exposed to it in Smoke and Aces, and I still have a need for that gun. Real bad.
But it's a, well, it's a Canadian DD now.
It was already prohibited.
Really? Okay.
The only reason I didn't own one, I was 3 months from owning a Serbu, the BFG-50, which is it was one of two semi-auto 50s that were non-restricted. Guy wanted $10,000 for it, and my assistant talked me out of it.
Good call.
Wait, it ended up being a goal. He was like, "You're going to shoot that gun once a year," and I'm like, "I know, but I have a gun that I have a 50," and he's like, "You're going to shoot that gun once a year, and you're going to have $10,000 tied up in it forever." And 3 months later, they got banned.
Good call then.
Good call.
The last few are from Eddie, taking my spot, of course, which is excellent. Seeing Adriel's shirt jogged my memory about the Slamfire shirt mentioned a few episodes back. Any update on that? I want an Adriel-approved Slamfire Radio Boogaloo shirt. He's not booging today, unfortunately, but Hawaiian shirt maybe one day.
Yeah, I got to notice the Memorial 3-Gun guys had some done up, so I'm going to email them and see where they got them and see if they're willing to do, because we don't want to have to order a bunch and just ship them out. So
on-demand printing.
Yeah, on-demand print. That's the biggest thing, is finding someone that can do a decent custom one and is willing to do on-demand print.
Yeah.
And fulfillment.
We can do a pre-order.
Ooh, that's not a bad idea.
Yeah, could do. Yeah.
Yeah. There's ways to accomplish that.
Not that I want to do that.
No.
Just because I don't want to mail stuff.
Well, because then you have to mail everything out afterwards. It's so much nicer, print to order and have them deal with fulfillment.
Mm-hmm. Regarding MagFest shotguns, is the Remington A70 DM, as in detachable magazine, still available? If so, are they reliable? From my knowledge, they are not available at the moment. Are they reliable? I'm not sure.
Why mess with perfection?
Because
Remington already messed race with perfection.
Well, yeah, I don't actually own a Remington shotgun. No, I can't say that. I do own a Remington shotgun, but I don't own a Remington pump action shotgun.
Yeah, no, like the 870, I agree with you. Older 870s, and then they messed with it. The newer 870s are not perfection.
Rust buckets, yeah. The particular I want is the A70 DM Little Beavers, 14-inch pump action detachable mag, but you can't take it to any kind of competition. It's going to be open division or open division. So that, all things considered, it's not really worth it, in my opinion. But if you're more into plinking, I think it could be down your alley.
You don't want a shorty for shooting competition anyway. I watched a guy brought like a short barrel Grizzly pump action to the shotgun stage, because it was just what he had, and somebody had to give him something better.
Like, sounds like Dave.
Well, even an 18.5-inch barrel's pushing it too short for competition.
Yeah.
If you can choke it, why does it matter?
Well, now you're limited now, though. You're choking up one more than everyone else, so you're just limiting yourself.
That's fair. Eddie also mentioned, I've heard about suppressed shotguns from UK hunting videos. Of course, Brandon Herrera also done some stuff on that. It's not uncommon. They're huge. Over there, you're expected to suppress hunting firearms, which is fair, but, assassin suppressor scary.
Yeah, see, here, we have, it's too many assassinations for suppressors. That's why they all voted it down when we had that initiative a few years ago.
Sound moderators, can't have them. For Eddie, favorite movie guns is the C96 Broom Handle Mauser. It's a good one. Han Solo's blaster. Browning High Power, used by the villains in Dead Bang. I hate that gun because it looks like a more ugly version of a 1911. Remington 700 in Sniper was Tom Berenger?
Berenger.
Berenger. I have a high power and 700, not a C96 due to rarity and cost. Yeah, C96 Mausers are cool. Also in Chinese culture, just because they're called the 盒子炮 or the box cannon for some reason. But yeah, it's a classic, as in if you're an officer or higher ranking official in the war against Japan, you would have one of these kind of thing. It's like a traditional stereotype, I guess. And last comment from Eddie. I'm with you, Tony, although I don't hate the 6.5 cream or 308 for the win. Case for hunting, I only take game at 250 yards once. The vast majority of time, shot has been under 100. I'm bush hunting near the west coast up to 500 yards. Ballistically speaking, they're a wash, but up to 300 yards, the 308 hits harder. I would prefer to use 308 on very large game like moose or bison over 6.5 Creedmoor. Over 500 yards, 6.5 Creedmoor becomes marginally in remaining energy for big games. If you are a long-range hunter or target shooter, 6.5 PRC makes more sense. Backfire's YouTube channel has a good video explaining why six other cartridges are better choices than a 6.5 Creedmoor for reasons people buy the Creedmoor. Lastly, under normal times, 308 is also has cheaper surplus ammo for plinking, which is correct. I think, I don't know how valid Backfire's video is on that. To me, 6.5 Creedmoor has, in comparison, has surpassed everyone in ammo availability except 308, of course, just because 308 is still the military accepted one. But I would agree with the surplus ammo and the planking part. You know, in the case of your end of world fantasy of your sorts, the government can airdrop you 308 ammo. I don't know if that's ever going to happen, but that's in my fantasy anyway.
You're on the side of the government in your fantasy?
Ugh.
I don't want to be shooting Chinese 5.8.
I wouldn't be counting on the government to be dropping you anything if the apocalypse happens, but world's not going to end.
I will be hanging out at my reloading bench, loading 223 and progressive, so we'll be all right.
One last fun effect, because somebody brought up the C96 Mauser. One other great place that it's in, Bond once used an incredibly rare rifle variant of it to almost shoot Goldfinger with.
I'm surprised no one brought up the PPK.
It's a terrible gun.
it's a classic, though.
It's a classic, but it's not a good gun. I don't get me wrong, I'll own one the second I get stateside because my partner is in love with Bond, and I'll have one because he needs one, but it's not a good gun.
He needs one because you want one.
Well, he really wants one. I just about, and we would probably have one if the handgun ban hadn't happened. Not that, but that Taurus 380 thing, that's like, it's a clone of it.
There's also the Bertha. But the Bertha,
Bertha, not Taurus, thank you. Yeah, that Bertha 380, I just about bought one of those just for to fill in that kind of gap for him, but it's not a good gun either. Yeah.
Define good. Define value.
Functional for more than a day. I mean, I wouldn't want to get in a gunfight with it. How about that?
There's a lot of things you don't want to get in a gunfight with. TT-33 Tokarevs. Lots of revolvers.
I mean, all right, and moving on. I haven't seen anything really on Facebook or Messenger or anything. We got our Cabela's and Brunel's link fixed on the website. So go use those links. Go buy stuff. And once a month or when we feel like it, we will compile the list and review it. We would like to thank our supporters on Patreon and Player. And if you'd like to support us, you can go find us there. Also, if you'd like to send the show an email, you can send the email to slamfireradio@gmail.com. We'll move on to shoutouts. We've got some shoutouts there. It looks like Tony's got some stuff in there.
I'll start first. If you'd like to learn more about the main topic, what Amanda was talking about for G2024, Ipsy Canadian Nationals, You can see the match winner and the production optics winner, Taylor Reich's video on that. He had that released on YouTube. Title would be IPSC Canada Handgun Nationals, PO win and high overall. You can also find those link on Discord, where I will post most of the stuff that I discuss here. And I want you to pay special attention to the drop-down for a, I guess, prone stage, but he is more like lean back stage at around 125. Yeah, it's very good. What else? I think that's about it. Don't forget to watch the video with City News and Amanda's interview about the IPSC as a dying sport, which is too bad, but it's a reality. We'll go to Kyle next.
Yeah, well, I'm going to shout out Jared and the team at Rocky Mountain and also the competitors for the awesome job helping with Reset. And I'll also shout out Adriel for sending the mag seating vibes. I didn't have a mag seating issue all match. I just had every other issue. So
I didn't send those other vibes.
No, no. Dustin, Adriel, you guys got any shout outs?
Shout out to my buddy Rev. He's one of the ones that I was hanging out with the other weekend. Showed me his cute little concealed carry piece that he was super happy with. Now he's over 21.
21.
Stateside.
Yeah.
He's in Washington.
It depends where you are. Yeah, Washington.
Washington, okay. You can't own a pistol until you're 21. So that was his little treat. Got a little Smith & Wesson. It's great. I'm jealous. I'll take you. Yeah.
Adriel?
Nothing for me.
Nothing from you?
No.
Okay. Well, with that, we are going to sign off. So go join our Discord server. Watch us on Facebook, YouTube, Twitch, and Player. Join the CCFR, and we will see you next week. Thanks.
Good night.
Good night.
So if you have any comments or questions for the show, please send an email to slamfireradio@gmail.com. Now go grab a gun and shoot something.
When the talking is over, it's time to get a gun.